I made up a word. I made up a word. To live, to really live, to fully live, we need wisdom. And wisdom itself is much more than knowledge. It has to do with living in ways that get it done, that in ways that work really well. And we were thinking about this a few weeks ago. And so I made up a word and suggested that when we see somebody living really well, living fully, living strategically, living in good relationship with God and with other people, then we just might want to encourage and affirm them by saying, "Lifewise, lifewise." I don't think that really caught on, you know. But I'll suggest it again. You know, it's a way that we might want to affirm someone and say, "Lifewise," you know. Well, today I want to speak about life rules, and again, I'm playing a little bit with words. There's sort of a double meaning in life rules. First of all, when life really rules, when living is really good, and when people are living very, very well, we just might want to say "lifewise," and we might want to do likewise, you know? Secondly, there are some guidelines. There are some directions, some rules that God has given us. Life rules that will lead us to lifewise living. Once again, I want to remind us, I've done this several times, I want to remind us that Ephesians 1 through 3 is full of rich doctrine, teaching about God and what He's doing in the world and how He makes it possible for us to know Him and to enjoy eternal life in Him. And that's incredible that He has done that. And we just remembered that and celebrated that as we partook together in Holy Communion. And then we get into practical teaching in chapters 4 through 6 of Ephesians. Lifewise stuff. And particularly in Ephesians 5, 21 and following, we have what some of the Bible scholars and teachers and so on down through the years have called household rules. Paul is teaching and preaching here on how we live out, how we actually live out the truth and the love of God in our daily and in our regular everyday lives. Last week, we looked at Ephesians 5, 21 through 33, and it begins with this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then we follow that. Paul follows that up with specific instructions for wives and for husbands. We thought last week about wives respecting their husbands and husbands loving their wives. This morning now, we move beyond that particular teaching. We move on to two other realms of regular life where we get to live life-wise. We move on to the relationship between children and parents and the relationship between workers and bosses or employees and those who are in charge of them. We find these life rules now as we move on into Ephesians chapter 6. And we read this: "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. So today, we'll think together about life rules, rules for living life really well. And first of all, just kind of in a preliminary way, just consider the matter for a moment of laws or rules in the Bible. I so much appreciate the teaching of Andy Stanley, particularly his little series that some of us have watched on the Ten Commandments. He really emphasized that God's law, listen to this, God's law is not given to us as a means of establishing or earning a relationship with God. God's laws are given to us because we are already in relationship with Him. It's like a parent setting rules for their children. They don't set rules for the neighborhood kids or for, you know, they set the rules for the ones they love. It's done out of love and it's done out of a desire for their safety and for their very best. God's rules, these life rules, are for us. They're for our success and our joy in living. The psalmist, I think, had a good understanding of the value of life rules. Psalm 119:97, "Oh, how I love your law! I meditate on it all day long. I hate and detest falsehood, but I love your law. I run in the path of your commands, for you have broadened my understanding," or in another translation, "You have set my heart free. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free." God gives us life rules so that we might live, so that we might really live. This morning, I want us to, for a few moments, to consider several reasons why the life rules of God are so good, so rich, and why we should highly value them and eagerly follow them. First of all, let's think about this. God's rules for living bring order to the chaos of life. Any of you dealing with chaos in your homes or at your work? Do you know of people being battered about by all of the chaos of life? I looked up that word in the dictionary, chaos. It says complete disorder and confusion. And get this, after that it said complete disorder and confusion. And here's the little illustration. Snow caused chaos in the region. I tell you, we're leaving right after the message today, after church today. We're leaving for Fargo because we want to beat the chaos, you know. And they're talking about, and someone else is heading to the Twin Cities. And chaos, complete disorder and confusion. You know of chaos in homes or in workplaces? Most of us know about it, and some of us may be living it, or trying to live in the midst of it. Maybe, just a couple of suggestions, you know. Maybe bedtime for some at home seems a bit chaotic. Or maybe it's bill time where things seem to get chaotic. Maybe it's trying to get along with the relatives, or the boss, or the employees. This past week, I've been particularly impressed, or maybe the word is depressed, by chaos in lives around me. Someone dear to us owns a business. Other owners are experiencing the demolition of their marriage, and now matters have been cast into the chaos of the legal system. And nothing seems to make sense there. And everyone involved is experiencing the injustice of the justice system, to say nothing of feelings of great betrayal and the quest for revenge. It's chaotic. Yet another person tells me this past week of deep sorrow and of great anxiety over a shared child custody situation, which was settled for because pursuing justice and righteousness would be incredibly costly and without any guarantees. And add to the mix of that person's life concerns about potential violence from the ex and threats and the need to care for aging and ailing parents, and you experience depressive chaos. And then there's a person who I've been getting to know who told me the other day over lunch, told me through tears about trying to forgive and move on. Their son was murdered. He was stabbed to death by his girlfriend who served a total of 33 months in jail, and whose daughter is now trying to find her way in a whole series of foster homes. And this isn't some news magazine on television. This is someone that I sat across from this past week and watched the tears flow. And what about the tensions and the strife and the chaos going on behind closed doors in our own community, in our neighborhoods, and in some cases, maybe in our own homes? From the stories that daily, hourly scroll on our televisions and on our computers, to the confusion and the disorganization in our own lives, we live in a chaotic world. God the Father sent Jesus into this sinful, messy world. Jesus spoke to the raging sea and stilled the threatening waves. Jesus loved the unlovable, the outcasts, the misfits. Jesus put up with bumbling, arguing followers. Jesus went to the cross for sinners, for all of those participating in the chaos. Jesus came to forgive us. He came to lovingly welcome us into His forever family and to help us survive and to help us thrive in this life that is often chaotic and out of control. And God has given us His Spirit to guide us in life-wise living, and He's given us His Word, His life rules, to show us the way, to give us direction for life abundant and life eternal. We, in Sunday school this morning, as we wrapped up John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." Life rules give direction for life and they bring order out of the chaos. And life rules that can do that are highly, highly desirable. Just a couple of verses from Ephesians that point in that direction. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord." And then down in verse 15 of Ephesians 5, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." Find out what the Lord's will is. Grab on to His life rules and live. Live as you look to and follow through on His life rules. Well, secondly, let's think about this. God's rules for living are really, really good because they give us direction. They give us practical direction for daily life. Last week we considered, as I already mentioned, we considered life rules for husbands and wives. And those of us who are married or will be married will be working on working those things out and living those out all of our lives, right? Today, we look at the life rules for children and parents and for workers and bosses. But all of the rules are surrounded and are enveloped by this general rule and this reminder: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Again, we go there, Ephesians 5:21. And I was reminded this week, and I mentioned it at the communion table, that reverence for Christ really means something like this: joyful and astonished awe before Him. Joyful and astonished awe before Him. Submit to one another out of your joyful and astonished awe before the Lord of the universe, in light of Jesus, Lord of all, who has saved us, who has called us, who is with us, who reigns, in awe and in reverence for Him, submit to one another and be ready and be eager to do the Lord's will, to follow the life rules that He has given us. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Children, some of the children are out of here now, but children, God has given you parents, and He loves you and guides you through your parents. Children, because you know the Lord and because God wants the best for you, obey your parents. The word here for obey, the word that the apostle uses for obey, has to do with listening. With listening, and then with hearing, and then doing what parents ask you to do. And remember, we need to remember that God is in this, and He wants you to listen and to follow your parents' rules. Obey them and honor them. I remember some years ago I preached on this passage, and a sharp, sharp young college student by letter later challenged me and asked me, "So how do we do this? How do we do this? I mean, get real, get practical. Give us some ideas on how we do this. What does it mean for me to honor my mom and dad? What did it mean when I was 8 or 10? What does it mean now that I'm a college student? What do you think?" How would you answer that? How would you answer that young college student? "Well, why don't you talk about that?" Not right now, but talk about that and talk to God about that. What does that mean? What does that mean in your home? What does that mean in our society? What does that mean for us today? For starters, I think if you are listening, if you are really listening, that's work. If you're really listening to your parents and if you are really concerned about honoring them, then you're on the way. Then you're really on the way. Listen carefully and obey them in the Lord, because this is the right thing to do. Now, some of you might think, "Well, aren't there some exceptions?" Of course, you know, there are always exceptions, right? And like maybe if there was a very, very ungodly parent who asks a child to do something just awfully sinful. But those kinds of things are rare. And it's not like the kid. Did you see this about the kid the other day who called 911 because he didn't want to go to bed? Mom and dad must have been saying, "It's time, hit the sack," and he called 911. You know, well, that's not this kind of an exception. And then the life rules go on and they extend to the parents. And here the father in particular is mentioned, probably because of the culture of that day, and probably because even today, fathers Generally, fathers are the ones who need to hear this the most. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Fathers, do not push your children to the point of wrath or rage, exasperation. Fathers, remember, this is really not about you and about your authority. This is about following God. This is all done in reverence to the Lord, right? And it's about raising your children in the instruction of the Lord. It's about something far more important and far more lasting than you hammering home your way no matter what. Okay? Do not exasperate your children. Several times recently, I've dealt with adults who are suffering greatly due to parental abuse of authority and abuse of other kinds. And they told me about their dads, their fathers, who out in the community had these wonderful positions, and people looked up to them, and they were professional people, and they went on to get great positions in different places. And both of them said, but behind the doors of our home, it was a different scene. And went on to talk to me about what can happen in that kind of a situation. Parents, our great privilege and responsibility is to bring our children up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. And once again, we encounter this in the Lord business, this whole atmosphere of all of the life rules. Out of reverence and joyful awe before the Lord who has given us children, we do our best trusting in the Lord as we bring up our children in the Lord. And once again, I kind of imagine that the practical, how do we do this kind of discussion could keep us talking the rest of the day, right? We could talk and try to grind that out. In fact, that's something we should be talking to one another about as parents. And we should be praying for one another about that. So children and parents, you all need to live together in the Lord. Children, listening carefully, honoring and obeying your parents. Parents, being careful not to hammer the kids so hard that they become exasperated. And you think about that word, and maybe you want to look that up and study that some more. But rather, to raise them up, to raise them up in the ways of the Lord. And as I thought about this, it seems to me that authority and the proper use of authority and respect for authority is a big deal in this parent-child relationship and in these rules for life when it comes to parents and children. And then I think as we consider worker-boss employment kinds of relationships, it seems to me that certainly authority is an issue there, but it seems to me that what Paul is writing has an awful lot to do with integrity. So we read this in the life rules section of Ephesians 6. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of hearts, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven. And there's no favoritism with him. Please understand, we need to understand, and I listened to a lengthy teaching on this, and you could access that if you want, but it's important for us to understand that when it says slaves here, we're not speaking about the awful kind of slavery that Christians sought to abolish in the 1800s in our history. What Paul refers to here is something more like indentured servanthood, and it's really almost more like the employer-employee relationships in our day, which can be challenging in their own right. A couple of things for us to notice and to practice in these life rules. First of all, as I worked with and pondered the text, I was struck by the mention of heart. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly. A life rule. We are to serve. We are to work for our earthly bosses as we would work for the Lord. In fact, as we work for our earthly bosses wholeheartedly, we in that are serving the Lord. I really appreciate Tim Keller's teaching on this passage. He shows how working in this way, working as unto the Lord, is a way of addressing, and again, a lengthy teaching. I wish I had the time to share it with you. Is a way of addressing the typical underwork in blue-collar situations and the overwork in white-collar and professional settings. If you want to know more about that, I'd be glad to address that and tell you where you can access more on that. But it has to do with integrity, and it has to do with doing things in the right way. But in this working as unto the Lord, working sincerely and wholeheartedly, there it seems is this great focus on integrity in doing the right thing and not just doing it for appearances, but doing it because you are an honest worker serving the Lord. And then, it's not lengthy, but there is the amazing thing that Paul tells the masters. He tells the bosses. He tells the employers to treat their workers in the same way. It would have been unheard of back then, and in many settings today, people would still say, that doesn't work that way. He says, you guys who are in charge, you treat your workers in the same way, with respect and fear and sincerity of heart, as unto the Lord. Because that's really who's the boss. He's the boss of the worker. He's the boss of the guy in charge. He's the master of all. So how much chaos and how much heartache do you think might be addressed if those in the workplace followed God's life rules? But you might say, you might be thinking, well, how practical is this? You know, not everyone is a Christian where I work, and sometimes even the Christians can be jerks, you know? Listen. We are working and we are supervising and we are in charge not according to how others around us perform, but as unto the Lord, who is ultimately the master. Jesus, who came and served us all the way to the cross, that's the one we are serving. And he died for us while we were still sinners, right? While we were still sinners, he served us and died for us. Well, these are some powerful life rules that give us godly direction in the nitty-gritty regular relationships of our lives at home and at work. Remember, God gives his life rules to those he loves for their good, for our good. We ought to be eager. We ought to be eager to know these life rules better and to follow them more closely because of their power to deal with the chaos swirling all around us, because they give us practical guidance in how we ought to live. And one more thing, because of the reward involved. We should embrace and follow God's life rules because it's rewarding, because there are rewards involved in doing so. Let's read the text again and notice the rewards involved. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. This is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and in the instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there's no favoritism with him. You see, it's rewarding. It's rewarding to do the right thing. And God makes promises to those who do the right thing. And Christian parents, you know that it is an incredibly rewarding thing to have your children following the ways of the Lord. Probably the best reward we could ever hope for would be to have our children following in the ways of the Lord. And workers and bosses, you ultimately work for the Lord. He really is your master, and it's rewarding to be able to live with to be able to live in an integrated sort of way, to have a great sense of integrity, to know that you are doing the right thing. But it also says that when we do that, our real master rewards us, workers and bosses. And when God is in charge of the positive feedback and of the rewards, well, how good is that? How good is that? People, let's make sure we are getting to know God's life rules. But let me say this. Knowing them, knowing the life rules, is no big deal. That's not a big deal. Following them, living them out, really living, is what God wants for us. He knows best. He rules. And He means for us to have abundant life that rules, or that rocks, or that pleases Him and pleases others around us. Let's pray about this. Father, thank you that out of your love and concern for our very best, you speak to us this way. You give us these rules of life so that we might live abundantly. And so help us to be eager to know and to follow the life rules, because in you and in your word and in your instruction, there is life. So may it happen in such a way that it overflows even to others around us. We thank you. And Spirit of God, make this real tomorrow and in the days of the week. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.